I'm going to start out with a question. How many of you here know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior? Okay, now let me ask you a second question. How many of you that held your hand up then that know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, how many of you are sorry you've made that decision to serve Jesus? Gee, not a single taker. Isn't that something? Not a single taker. Well, I'll tell you what. There's not anything in the world like serving Jesus, is there? Jesus, He is a faith God, and there's something that we have to learn because we all ought to be walking in a great place of power with our Lord. But you know, most of us are not. You know, I think about the wonderful things that I have seen God do when I step out on bold faith. And many people have asked me, who is the easiest people in the world to get healed? Now, who do you think would be the easiest kind or class of people to get healed? An unbeliever. It's easier to get an unbeliever healed than it is a believer. Now, who do you think the hardest people are to get healed? PhDs from the seminary. They are the most difficult ones. I have had the privilege, I have been asked by a doctor of theology from Southwestern, which is one of the biggest Baptist schools in Texas. I have been invited to speak in his class 3 times with the dean's approval on healing. And boy, that's something when the Baptist seminary invite me. I used to be a Baptist, though. I was a Baptist for 65 years, so then I became a non-denominationalist, you know, so I just believe in Jesus now, you know. I've spoken in every kind of church almost there is. I don't care if you're Mormon, Presbyterian, you know, Jehovah's Witness, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic. I don't care what you are. I'll talk to you about Jesus as long as you let me use the Bible. Now, if you got to take away the Bible, then you need to find yourself another boy, because I'm not going to talk about nothing but God's Word. But when I would go to his class, I would ask a simple question, or I would teach for an hour or hour and a half or whatever. And the class is supposed to be, I think, an hour long. I'm not really sure. I do know that it starts about 9:30, something like that. And we're supposed to go till about 10, I think, or maybe 10:30 at the latest. And I know nearly every time we go all the way to lunch. And so I don't know what God is doing there, but he's doing something. In fact, one of the men, as I talk about healing, I said, no, healing is guaranteed to us in the atonement. It's part of it. And one of them would say, well, now look, what scripture do you use to get something like this done? I said, well, let me tell you, as a Christian, if there was only one verse in God's Word that guaranteed that He would do what He said, could you take that to the bank if you're a Christian? Well, let's look at one of these. Let's go to a scripture in the New Covenant, James 5, 14, 15, and 16. I want you to see this wonderful promise. Now then, I don't understand why the church don't believe this, but I was a member of a Baptist church all of my life, and I had lots of sick people in that Baptist church. We used the Word of God, and I never saw this verse used in my entire life in a Baptist church until I started doing it myself. So there's something wrong, isn't there? There's something wrong. Now look at this verse. Are any among you sick? Now then, who would that include? I mean, if James says, are any, he's talking to the church, of course. That's us, right? Are we the church? Yeah, we're the believers. Is there any among you sick? Well, I guess then we've never seen a sick person in church, right? You never seen a sick person in church? Oh, you have? Have you been sick since you've been a Christian? Yeah, me too. Lots of times. I was sick lots of times, but did I know this verse was in the Bible? No, I did not know it was there. And look what it says. or any sick among you, they should call for the elders of the church. Oh, there's a problem. We don't have any elders in the Baptist church. Everybody's teenagers. No, I've run into a few elders in the Baptist church, haven't you? Have you seen a few guys in the Baptist church that's 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old? You think those guys could classify as an elder? Yeah, I think they would. And so it says, you should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, so far, this doesn't sound really very hard, does it? And then, okay, let's see what he says next there. And their prayer offered in faith. Uh-oh, now there's the problem. Their prayer offered in faith, because this is the way, after I started watching this happen in my way later years of life, when I would see somebody, not necessarily in a Baptist church do this, but a Catholic church maybe. In fact, I preached in the Catholic church down close to College Station. In fact, it was in College Station years ago. And when I got through preaching, teaching the Word of God, the Catholic priest that invited me down there, he came up and he says, I've done that many times. I have anointed people with oil that were sick in my church. I have invited them to come forward to be prayed for, to stand on this, and I have prayed for many a person. But he said, you know how many people I've seen healed? I said, sir, I have no idea. He said, zero. He said, and today I've learned why it didn't work for me. I said, why? He said, because I always put this, what you call, faith-destroying phrase in it. Now, Lord, if it be your will you heal this woman or this child or this man? And I said, I have never seen the Lord answer my prayer. But he said, I know why. I didn't do it his way. Now, how many of you know God's a man? And how many of you know that most men got a way to do things? And most men, their wives want to try to change them and get them to do it another way? And how many of you women have much luck at that? Very little, right? My wife's learned how to do it, but she's learned she can't do it with me. She learned she has to go to her Heavenly Father. And then she goes and she prays and says, Lord, will you soften my husband's heart and make him more like Jesus? Now, is she on safe ground there? Yes. And then she says, Lord, if there's anything I need to change, then you change me. And she's making herself available to the Lord. So if he needs to soften her heart, he will. And she has asked him to make me more like Jesus. And that's what he wants to do. But he has to have somebody pray that prayer in faith. Now, you know that there's a lot of women and men. Let's just use women first. There's a lot of women, they get all upset at their husbands because they won't do what they want them to do. And they never think about praying about it. They just give him a hard time. Why won't you do this for me? You know, well, I'm busy now. I got other things to do. You never help me do nothing. See? Now, if they would learn, and the husband says, honey, I want you to help me do this. He says, I ain't got time. I'll do that when I have time. So instead of giving him a hard time and reading him the riot act, you go and say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, the first thing you better do is you better make sure your life is clean before God. See, that's the secret. If your life is clean before him, then you can pray and he'll answer your prayer. But if your life is not clean, he won't answer your prayer. And so that's why you got to walk holy in obedience to God's word. But anyway, this guy said, I prayed that prayer with James 5:14 many a time for many a person down here at College Station, that Catholic church I was at. I have never seen an answer to prayer. Now, the first thing was, why would a Catholic priest invite me, a Southern Baptist deacon at the time? I didn't even have my own church. Why would he invite me to speak in his Catholic church about healing? Well, something unique must have happened, right? This man was a good friend of a woman by the name of Judy. She lived in Corpus Christi. Judy come down with breast cancer. 2 years she's had breast cancer. come to the point where that now the doctors say, we either amputate both breasts or you're going to die in 6 months. Judy says, then I'm going to die a whole woman. I'm not going to die a partial woman. If God takes me home in 6 months, she's a great Baptist lady. Her husband was a good Baptist man. But she said, if you take both my breasts off and I go through all that pain and suffering, it's only going to add another 6 months to my life and I'm probably going to die anyway. She said, forget it. We ain't going to do it. So anyway, the doctor said, well, if you don't have the surgery, you only have about 1 week left to live. So she comes in and that night tells her husband what the doctor says. And she calls one of her good friends, Sue, that's in my Bible study class over here at the Baptist church in Justin. She's in there every Sunday. I'm just a deacon in the Baptist church. And so she called Sue and said, Sue, I want to say goodbye. It was Thursday. She said, what do you mean? She said, the doctors just told me I got a week left to live. I have breast cancer in the worst way. I've had it 2 years, as you know. I am down to about 80 pounds, you know. And she said, it's over. I'm going to die. Y'all come on in. Praise the Lord. Find you a place. Said, I'm going to die. So I just wanted to call and say goodbye and tell you how much I love you as a friend. This woman was about 50 years old. You know, that's not, to me, that's not a long life. You know that? 50's not long. Now, if you're 17, you know, I was 15 and my dad was 50. You know, I knew the old man was over the hill and didn't know nothing. I knew I, at 15, knew everything there was, and he's at 50, he don't know nothing. Until I got a little older, and then I found out dad was a whole lot smarter than I thought he was. You know, but that seems the way things go. You know, when you get a little older, all of a sudden your parents are a little smarter than you thought they were. But anyway, Judy said goodbye to Sue, and Sue, as soon as they hung up the phone, Sue called me. Said, Thurman, I sit in your Sunday school class every Sunday. I listen to you talk about these awesome promises and the wonderful things you see God doing, healing people. And she said, one of my best friends from Corpus Christi called me today and wanted to tell me goodbye. She has less than a week to live. She said, if my husband and I...
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, I Can Guarantee God's Word, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.